Good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning on this terrific Tuesday. I'm Gary Zimak. Glad to have you with us. Let's begin in prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to the start of a new day. Father, thank you for creating us. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways. We thank you for the gift of your presence. Wherever we go, we know that you are with us. Right there, that makes us feel good because we know we're never alone, no matter where we are, no matter what we do, no matter what we are facing. Father, we ask you to give us the grace today to deal with whatever comes our way, any challenging situation, challenging person, difficult problem, whatever it is, we ask that you give us the grace to deal with it. We also ask that you use us to be lights shining in the darkness so that whatever we do, whatever we say, people will be drawn closer to you. We lift up to you, Father, all of our personal intentions, whatever they may be. We know you can handle them a lot better than we can. We give them to you this day. And I ask you to speak through us on the program today so that we can proclaim the message that you have for us and open our minds and our hearts to be able to receive and act on the message that you give us today. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We're hoping to get your day started off on the right foot. Today on the program, we will be joined, as soon as I learn to speak, by Father Terry Ehrman. He's written a book called Man of God by Catholic Answers Press. Lessons for young men about life, sex, friendship, vocation, and loving with the heart of Christ. You got to hear the details of this book. Very, very interesting. Very unique approach that he took to writing the book. Also, we're going to be joined by author and speaker Dina Dwyer Owens. She is the author of multiple books, among them Live Rich and Values Incorporated. You may remember Dina from her appearance on Undercover Boss. We'll talk more about that when she comes on the show, but she's going to talk. Dave Parker, good morning, by the way.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I am well. Dina's going to talk about something very novel, the idea of ethics and values in business.
Wow.
How about that?
What a concept that is.
And it's going to extend beyond business. So even if you're not a business owner, it's going to extend to our lives. What's the importance of having values and a code of ethics
exactly.
in our own lives?
Yes. I'm looking forward to hearing.
How about that for Christians, right? Sometimes, Dave, there is a disconnect between our faith life and our
absolutely.
Personal lives, but there shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes we, you know, when we leave the church on Sunday, you know, we just kind of leave that kind of thing there because we have to go back into the battle of the secular world. And oftentimes those ethics get left behind.
Yeah. And, you know.
Unfortunately. I mean, yeah.
And boy, what a great concept, though. I mean, it sounds I'm being facetious with my comments about it being a novel idea, but it really is a novel idea. A lot of times, people will say, "Leave God in church. Don't bring Him into the workplace
exactly.
or into your personal life." But man, that's where He's really needed, right?
Really, absolutely.
Oh
absolutely.
Man! So we're going to look forward to talking to Dina on the program today, Mr. Parker. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Gary. I'm doing well.
Everything going well?
Well, yes. I had some sad news.
Yeah, let's share that.
At 8:20 p.m. last night, phone call from a dear friend in Clarion, Pennsylvania, out in western PA, that our dear friend, my spiritual mentor and great friend, Father Zeitler, and I've mentioned Father Z on the air before.
You have, yeah.
Because I try to rendezvous with him when I make my trips to Erie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. And I don't...
He meant a lot to you, didn't he?
Oh, he did.
I mean,
he
obviously
did.
He formed you well because you're a great person, we have to credit Father Z
Thank
for
you.
That.
I do. I mean, and he's at rest now.
Yeah.
And he was so beloved. And so my wife Barb and I are, after the show, we're a little bit mid-morning, we're going to head out to Western PA. His funeral's tomorrow in Hermitage, Pennsylvania, at the Church of Notre Dame, or Notre Dame, as some people say. So, so please keep Father Zeitler, Monsignor, the Reverend Monsignor Zeitler, in your prayers. He was 87 years old. I mean, a rich and blessed life. So thanks for listening.
Yeah, and we'll miss you tomorrow. Safe travels. And
thank you, Garrett.
We will keep the Monsignor in our prayers.
Thank you very much.
Isn't it amazing, Dave, when you think sometimes of the various people who have affected us in so many ways at a spiritual level?
Yeah.
I've got a long list of people that oftentimes you lose touch with.
Absolutely.
But you think back and you remember and you think, boy, if it wasn't for this person suggesting to me to start going to daily mass or saying these prayers or reading this book, where would I be?
Exactly. If I can develop that a little bit with Father Z, in my military career, I would keep him in prayer and I kind of lost touch.
Okay.
You know, I would try and get a message to him, and we try to do all that, like all in our busy lives. And so I made a concerted effort after maybe about 8-9 years ago to reestablish good contact. I mean, to go see him. And I'm so glad I did. And the last time I saw him, as I shared with you earlier before the show, was about a month and a half ago. I called him, but he was just getting out of the hospital, and he was a little weak, so we said, well, maybe, you know, let me get stronger. And that was it. And how often do we hear that for our, you know, family members, friends, and they're gone.
Yeah, so isn't it great that you reached out to him?
Absolutely.
So I think that's a lesson for all of us today. If
we had
there's
a great
somebody
conversation.
That you haven't reached out to in a long time, maybe give that person a call.
Absolutely.
But,
thanks,
yeah, it's just amazing that we have these people. The Lord puts people in our path who help us to grow closer to him. Let's try to be aware, and maybe, how about this, we can be that spiritual mentor or advisor for somebody else.
Yeah, that, in a way, I think that's part of our call.
Right.
Now, we pick up the baton
as
we go forward, and through our program, your program, Gary, I hope we're touching lives and reminding people, and hug your loved ones, tell them you love them, you know?
Definitely.
Family and friends.
It's very much important for us to do that. Dave, let's take a quick look at the weather before we do the gospel. Today, currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, 75 degrees, foggy and misty at the moment. Today, we'll have a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 9 a.m. Then it'll be partly sunny, high near 93 tonight. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms once again, with a low around 75. Wednesday, slight chance of showers before noon, otherwise partly sunny, high near 86. At the present time in Lansdale, 70 degrees. In Bensalem, 77 degrees. And in Wilmington, Delaware, it is 74 degrees.
Wow.
Dave Parker, the gospel is, the gospel is very interesting today, especially considering that one of our guests, Dina Dwyer Owens, wrote a book called Live Rich. And she is the co-chair of a very successful corporation. The Lord's gospel, the Lord's message in the gospel are very, very powerful and something that needs to be addressed. So let me just look at it, then we'll talk more about it. It's from Matthew 19, verses 23 through 30. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Then Peter said to him in reply, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne in glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands for the sake of my name, will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Now, Dave, we're going to be talking about ethics in business. We're going to be talking about living rich. Obviously, what Jesus is saying, we have to take seriously. If we are preoccupied with gathering wealth, especially when we do it at all costs, we're going to have a difficult time getting into heaven.
Yes.
He's saying it's not impossible, mm-hmm. but it's difficult. Mm-hmm. That's why mm-hmm. I'm so glad Dean is going to be on the show today to talk about ethics in business and in life in general.
Yeah, because sometimes we think, well, it's all or nothing. We have to be that. You know, we have to be hammer and tong in the business secular world, you know, first to the finish line.
Yep.
And that's kind of the world, what the world tells us. But we don't have to do it that way.
We don't, Dave. And the flip side is that we don't have to give away every last dollar we have in order to make it to heaven.
Exactly.
There are rich people who have a lot of money who are very, very generous.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on our mindset and the fact that we realize the realization that all of our money, all of our resources, all of our gifts, they're given to us from the Lord.
Exactly.
And we're really just stewards of those of that money, of those gifts. What do we do with them? Do we keep everything to ourselves or do we share it?
Well, the word rich, I mean, we can, not just in the monetary worldly sense, but we are as you just said, so many of us have those gifts and that make us rich in the spiritual gifts that we put to work. So we don't always have to just think of money richness. We want to be rich in those gifts of the Holy Spirit and ethics going through life.
And find
the balance.
And exactly. One of the points that Jesus makes in this gospel is that many, if you give up, he comments, give up your house, your wife, your husband, whatever. He's just saying, if you give up your life, if you put me first, you'll be rich in the everlasting life in heaven.
I mean,
that's really the goal. The goal is to get to heaven. We have to sometimes delay our gratification. Matthew Kelly talks about that a lot. We're going to have to forego some pleasure in this life if we expect to make it to the next life.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't mean you need to be physically impoverished to get to heaven.
This is true.
But it's just that mindset really a lot to think about. And it's really something for all of us to remember. Even if we don't have a lot of money, we can still be greedy.
Mm-hmm.
We can still be unwilling to share what we have, our gifts,
absolutely.
Our spiritual
talents
with others.
Absolutely.
So a lot to think about in today's gospel.
That's a lot to think about.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's
almost 7:12.
That's
right?
Rich. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kick back on this break and really ponder that gospel. But when we come back, Father Terry Ehrman will be here. He has written a book called Man of God from Catholic Answers Press. You don't want to hear, you don't want to miss what he has to say. Whoa, I need to get some coffee. I'll be back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 22nd. Today we celebrate the queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Though Pope Pius XII established this feast in 1954, Mary's queenship has roots in Scripture. At the Annunciation, Gabriel announced that Mary's son would receive the throne of David and rule forever. At the Visitation, Elizabeth called Mary the Mother of my Lord. In the 4th century, Saint Ephrem referred to Mary as Lady and Queen. Hymns such as Hail Holy Queen and Hail Queen of Heaven also address Mary with this title. Much Christian art depicts Mary in royal robes. The feast of Mary's queenship is a logical follow-up to the Solemnity of the Assumption. After Mary was assumed into heaven, we believe she was crowned Queen of Heaven and Earth. Mary's queenship is a share in Jesus' kingship. Mary was predestined to be the mother of Jesus. As Jesus was to be king of all creation, Mary was to be queen. As Jesus exercised his kingship on earth by serving his Father and his fellow human beings, so Mary exercised her queenship. As the glorified Jesus remains with us as our king till the end of time, so does Mary remain as our mother and queen. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570. Or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
more inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Francesca Battistelli, who is one of my favorite artists, came out with a new song called If We're Honest. And there's a line in there about, you bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. Mercy's waiting on the other side. And I just thought, wow, that's a great song for this year. So let me play it for you, see if you like it as much as I do.
Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love. If we're honest, if we're honest, don't pretend to be something that you're not, living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross, at the cross. So bring your brokenness and now.
And that was Francesca Battistelli. Ooh, let me try
easy
that again.
Easy for you to say.
I tell you, Francesca Battistelli. The name of the song was If We're Honest. I'm Gary Zimak, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Right now, the time is 7:18. I want to thank you for joining us, for starting your day with us. We are going to be joined now by Father Terry Ehrman. He is the Assistant Director for Life Science Research and Outreach at the Center for Theology, Science, and Human Flourishing at the University of Notre Dame. Father Terry has written a book. The name of the book is Man of God, Lessons for Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ. The book is published by Catholic Answers Press. Father Terry joins us now to talk a little bit about this work. Good morning, Father Terry. How are you?
Good morning, Gary.
Thanks so much for being on the show today with us.
No, you're very welcome. Glad to be here.
I want to ask you, a fascinating book. I really enjoyed it. Let's take a look at, before I ask you why it is that you wrote the book, talk about the format of the book, because I thought it was an interesting approach.
The format of the book is similar to the Screwtape letters, if readers are familiar with that, from C.S. Lewis. They're letters from Uncle Demon to a Nephew Demon, how to tempt some young man and to lead him into sin. And so this in some ways is the reverse of that, right? These are letters or emails from a priest to a young college grad whom he had met and had him in class as a student, and there's this year-long spiritual direction electronic spiritual direction that goes on that follows the liturgical calendar. It starts with the Feast of the Sacred Heart in June and runs through Pentecost and a little bit beyond that. And each month there's a different saint who becomes the theme for the content of that letter, of what that what is being discussed between the priest and this young man, Joseph. So there's an go ahead.
I was going to say, you cover so many different topics in there. And is this, are these an actual series of letters that were written?
No, so like the Screwtape Letters, this would be narrative fiction.
Okay.
Joseph is meant to stand in for every man.
Uh-huh.
Now, there are real experiences and encounters and observations that I've had in my life that are that make their way into this story, but it's a fictional character, but it's a way, I think, to draw people in, not just have some topic that's unrelated to the personal dimension. I think this, I hope this email correspondence is a proxy for spiritual direction, that people get to listen in to what is going on between an authentic great relationship between a priest and a young man that's trying to lead him along the path of holiness and how to grow in chastity and modesty and holiness.
And I have to say, Father, reading the book, I was drawn in because it was almost as if I was eavesdropping, and there was so much information that I got from this exchange. And I want to ask you, in the world today, what are the temptations, what are the challenges faced by young men in particular?
Well, I think there's a background temptation and then there's particular temptations. And I think the particular temptations, right, we live in a digital age, a media age, where images are readily available. So I think the temptation to look at pornography, to look at what should be hidden, and to have that readily accessible on one's computer, one's laptop, one's phone that one carries in one pocket,
yeah.
Right, it's very different than 30 years ago when I was growing up, or 20, 40 years ago when I was growing up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you were looking for pornography, you had to go to a store and buy it from someone. And now it's even more impersonal. And so I think that's one temptation, is just the landscape in which we live that's so, lust is so promoted.
It is, yeah.
But I think the broader background is this false sense of freedom.
Right.
That I'm free to do whatever I want. That's what freedom is in the modern sense, as opposed to the traditional sense, and the Catholic sense, that freedom is for choosing the good. And as a friend of mine says, it's how do we know the right and choose the good with quickness, ease, and joy. And this book is trying to help people to choose the good of following the path of Christ, the life of virtue.
And the really nice thing about it, the thing I enjoyed, was the fact that you don't pull any punches in this book. You're very honest. You talk about the issues that we need to discuss. As somebody who is, you know, I know what it was like to be young at one time. I have to think back a while, but I know the temptations. And you're right. You mention, and as you just said, you once again reiterate, we literally carry the occasion of sin in our pocket, in our phone. I mean, it's that easy. There are so many temptations right on our cell phones. Father, you mentioned at the start of the book, the one aspect that I found fascinating was you talk about prayer, and you go into depth about prayer, and you state that our relationship with God is our prayer. Could you explore that a little bit? Because I think sometimes we feel that even when we do pray, here are the prayers we have to pray, let's just get through them and then get on with our lives.
I wanted to start with prayer. The first chapter is the Sacred Heart, and as a Holy Cross priest, our patron is the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. And I think fundamental to any kind of growth, right, is made in the image and likeness of God. What is so fundamental to our identity is prayer. You know, I often wonder, how did Jesus pray? Right, he'd go out well before the dawn to a deserted place. He'd spend a whole night on a mountaintop in prayer. What kind of intimacy and intensity of prayer did he have? We can't think about Jesus Christ without his relationship to the Father in the Holy Spirit. And so how can the same be true of us? How can we live out this, we're in this image, and so we have an intrinsic relationship to the Father through Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so prayer is, I mean, we're thankfully taught by our parents and priests and family, as raised as Catholics, there are certain standard prayers right before meals, the Our Father, the Hail Mary. But prayer is, that's good, but there's a deeper call that we have to encounter the Trinity as a Trinity of persons, or it's a personal relationship. And so I think prayer is more like Mary, the sister of Martha, who's seated at the feet of Jesus and just being in his presence. And I think prayer is that fundamental relationship to God and to Christ in the Spirit.
That's so important what you're saying, because I know one of the things I struggle with is when I do pray, and I make it a point to pray. I have a fairly long commute to the radio station each day, and me and the Lord are speaking a lot. But sometimes, Father, I feel that I have a list of things that I need to make sure I cover. But as you mentioned in your discussion on prayer, you talk specifically about contemplative prayer. Sometimes it's okay to not just continue to rattle on, but just to maybe repeat the name of Jesus and focus on the fact that we are in his presence.
That's right. And I usually use the line that God is always aware of us.
Wow.
We're just not aware of him at all times.
Wow.
Now, if you live the contemplative life as a monk or a nun, right, the conditions of prayer and contemplation are provided in the quiet and solitude of a monastery. But for those who are apostolic, for those who are out in the world, we're still to have what I think would be a monk's heart. Mm. That we have this, that we have responsibilities to the world, to our family and children and friends, but what's the stillness in our heart, as Augustine would say, right? Our heart is restless until it rests in thee, right? It's the first commandment, or the first of the great commandments, to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And I don't think, I haven't met anybody who does that. I don't do that. Mm. I want to do that, but I don't, right? To love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And so this book is trying to get at that. It's forming people in a deeper relationship that then will form in all their other relationships. It'll reorient all those other relationships.
Basically, it changes the way we look at everything, and that's I guess that's where we can get off the track when we lose sight of God and his beauty in everything, including our relationships with other people. And the world's going to tell us a different message, but we're called to see him in everything, and it's challenging. Father, again, the book is Man of God, Lessons for Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ from Catholic Answers Press. Would you recommend this book specifically for young men? Obviously but how about for people who are concerned about a loved one in their lives?
Right. So this book is, I mean, it's written to a young college grad.
Right.
But the audience would be, you know, late high school and up. Mm-hmm. To infinity, right? It's for the person who, of whatever age, is struggling with trying to grow in holiness. So I think it's for that person, but it's also for the parent, the uncle, the priest, the aunt, the mother, who wants to teach their son or even their daughter how to become a man of God. I think it's very much this handing on of an identity, of how to grow in a culture, of an expectation of to be a person that's not just a man of the world or a woman of the world, but to be a man of the kingdom of God. And so it's twofold. It's for the person who wants to grow oneself, but it's also to try and bring back what I think has been lost in the last two decades or three decades, is this handing on from one generation to the next of what it means to be a man, a holy man.
And I will put a link on spiritofthemorning.com, Father, where our listeners can go to purchase the book. I highly recommend it. Very, very interesting and powerful book. Father, we have about 30 seconds left. Would you be able to leave us with a blessing?
Sure. On this memorial of the Queenship of Mary, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father Terry Ehrman, thank you so much for joining us in Spirit in the Morning. I really appreciate your time.
No, thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
All right. That's Father Terry Ehrman from Notre Dame. The name of the book is Man of God, Lessons for Young Men About Life, Sex, Friendship, Vocation, and Loving with the Heart of Christ. If you want to find out more about the book, and I do recommend you take a look at it, spiritinthemorning.com, we will have a link there. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with Dina Dwyer Owens.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit radio news update. President Donald Trump is declaring that U.S. troops will fight to win the long war in Afghanistan. He pointedly declined yesterday to disclose how many more U.S. troops will be sent. In a primetime address billed as the unveiling of his new Afghanistan strategy, Trump last night said the U.S. would shift away from a time-based approach, instead linking its assistance to results and to cooperation from the beleaguered Afghan government, Pakistan, and others. Authorities say 33 people have been injured in a train crash at a station in suburban Philadelphia. A spokeswoman for the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority says it happened around 12:15 a.m. Heather Redfern says an inbound Norristown high-speed train crashed into an unoccupied parked train at the 69th Street Terminal in Upper Darby. Redfern says 33 people aboard the train were injured. The cause of the crash remains under investigation. And Vatican Secretary of State Pietro Parolin yesterday met with Metropolitan Hilarion, an official with the Patriarchate of Moscow, during his first day in Russia. Vatican Radio reports Parolin called the two-hour meeting very constructive, saying the two focused a lot on the situation in Syria, Ukraine, as well as Venezuela. According to Asia News, Cardinal Parolin was scheduled today to meet with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Tomorrow, he's set to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Sochi. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Social Security is with you through life's journey. Get to know us at socialsecurity.gov. We are there, day one, with baby names and a gift that lasts a lifetime. We are there as you grow, protecting you and those you love. We are there when you get your first job, helping you to save for the future. We are there when you marry your sweetheart to help secure your new life together. We are there if the unexpected happens to help you see life from a new perspective. We are there when you start your next chapter to make sure you get off to a great start. And we are there when you lose your soulmate to help make sure you will be all right. We are with you through life's journey. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. Get to know us and see what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Sam Burns was born in 1996 with the rapid aging disease progeria, which usually results in death by age 13. But his physician parents, Dr. Scott Burns and Dr. Leslie Gordon, were not prepared to give up their son without a fight. They founded the Progeria Research Foundation, through which they're working to discover the gene responsible for progeria and then develop a treatment. The Christopher Award-winning documentary Life According to Sam follows their efforts and also introduces viewers to Sam, whose joyful spirit and mature soul defy the danger of his condition. Sam Burns unfortunately passed away at age 17, but his parents' battle to help others with progeria continues in memory of their son. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Life seems like an uphill battle, like more than you can handle. But we have a hope that it's real. And there's power that lives inside us. We were made with hearts like lions. We're not giving a spirit of fear. His strength inside us, we are fighters. Made to rise with faith alive. We're standing 10 feet high. We're not giving up. When struggles come, they're not big enough. There's no stopping us. We're fearless inside. We're walking like giants. We're not giving up. With every step, he's still here with us. Whatever comes our way, we'll be walking like giants. Walking like giants.
Ooh. It might seem like the biggest mountains got you surrounded, but there's a God above it all. With no fear, we keep moving forward. Yeah, we're marching on like soldiers. No such thing as impossible.
We're not giving up. When struggles come, they're not big enough. There's no stopping us. We're fearless inside. We're walking like giants. We're not giving up. With every step, still here with us. Whatever comes our way, we'll be walking like giants. Walking like giants. Oh, we're walking like giants.
And that was Walking Like Giants by Stars Go Dim. Man, I am having a hard time speaking today, Dave Parker.
Here, have some more coffee,
brother. Oh, man. My name is Gary Zimak, and I am struggling this morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. We are joined now by Dina Dwyer Owens. She's the co-chair of the Dwyer Group. America also knows her, and this was my first experience in getting to know Dina. Also knows her for participating in CBS's Emmy-winning hit reality show, Undercover Boss. Dina, for years she served as CEO of the Dwyer Group, which is headquartered in Waco, Texas, now includes 19 service brands, seven of which support a different franchise under many different names. Collectively, these brands and more than 2,800 franchisees make over 3 million customer calls a year and account for more than $1.5 billion in system-wide sales. Dina is here to share something very interesting, and I joked about it at the beginning of the show, a novel idea, a code of ethics for businesses. Dina, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today. Dina, you've written two books, Live Rich and Values Incorporated. Now, I think this is such an important topic in today's day and age, this idea of ethics, not only in business, but in our personal lives. Tell us a little bit about your personal story, if you will, the work that you do, and what really drives you.
Yeah, well, I was raised in the Dwyer Group. My father founded our company in 81, and he was a student of great leaders, always studying great leaders, and wanted to find out what made them so great.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of reasons, of course, but two things popped up. One is they all had a clearly written set of values. Some called it code of values, code of ethics,
And
they were also very authentic in their leadership. So they were the best version of themselves, as Matthew Kelly might say, but just working hard to be authentic in their leadership. So Don founded the Dwyer Group with a very clear code of values. Now, that was more of an emotional-based belief system, things like loyalty has meaning to our lives, or one of my favorites as a kid growing up in a family business was we must re-earn our positions every day in every way.
Wow.
Now, yeah, Don took the company public in 93, and then he died of a sudden heart attack in 94. So you might imagine the company was left with quite a void.
Yeah.
And we knew as a leadership team, Gary, that we had to keep this code of values alive because it was the foundation that he really built this business on, attracted the right employees, attracted the right franchisees. So we took his original values and we operationalized them. Today we call it Living Rich, and the Rich stands for respect, integrity, customer focus, and having fun. Really all about how we treat people. And we find, Gary, that when we treat people with respect and dignity, the profits always seem to follow.
Isn't that amazing? And that really is, you don't hear a lot of people talk about that because the implication, I think, in at least in many of the business models today is we can't do that. We can't treat people this way because otherwise the profits will fall.
It's a sad phenomenon, but I think that most leaders want to do good. They want to be good. In fact, most leaders have written a code of values or code of ethics, right?
Right.
Your listeners probably have been part of an organization, and it doesn't have to be a for-profit organization, but one that has set a strategy, a vision, a mission, and a set of values, and they get back to the office to go to work, and they forget to execute on the values. And I don't think it's because they're bad. I think it's because they don't know how to do it. So we figured out how to do it.
And Dina, what happens when, I mean, let's face it, no company is perfect. What happens when these values get overlooked?
Oh, well, you have to have a conversation about it, and this is the thing. The reason why it's worked so well at Dwyer Group is because we've created a system around keeping the values front and center, Gary, and that's where most leaders don't understand how to make this part of their DNA. So anytime we have a meeting of three or more of our team members, including our board meetings, all the way down to any meeting that we're having, we review the values. And so it's top of mind every day in our business. You know, you might be in six meetings in a day, so it's really top of mind. And sometimes we review all 15. We have very, very specific, you might think of them as value standards. So when we talk about respect, we're very specific, like listening with the intent to understand what's being said and acknowledging that what is said is important to the speaker would be one of our value standards. But what we do is we hold each other accountable. So what it allows us to do by saying, look, this is who we are as an organization. We're hiring you because you say that you believe in these values. And so when people violate the values, and we do, not on purpose. It's rare that anybody violates them on purpose. But when we do, we have to address it. And I recently had an exchange with our CEO, Mike Biddle, who's done an amazing job growing our business 100% in the last 3 years. And we're a 36-year-old company. But Mike actually called himself on the rug. We had an email exchange, and there was, in his mind, there was a bit of sarcasm in his reply to a few of us. And one of our values is speaking calmly and respectfully without profanity or sarcasm. So he said, you know, I'm sorry, I just violated the values there. And so we had a discussion about it, and I said, you know, I didn't really take it that way. In fact, I kind of learned something from our exchange there. So it forced a conversation because we think about it so much.
Yeah, Dina, I have a personal observation here. Several years ago, we had a leak in an indoor leak in one of our pipes, and we called one of your franchisees,
Mr. Reuter.
Now, here's what's interesting, Dina. The fellow that showed up was very nice. I liked him. There was just something about him that was different. And I said to my wife, we need to use these people again. He was honest. He did a good job. How do you make sure, I mean, you're a very large corporation, how do you make sure that this code of ethics filters down to the lowest levels?
Yeah, that's the key. And it's all about who you hire.
Yeah.
And in our case, who we award franchises to.
Huh.
So, you know, we part of the interview process is we talk about the values, and again, is there alignment? Is this the company you want to work for? Because we're not right for everybody, Gary.
Right.
Same thing with our franchisees. It's really critical that we get it right with our franchisees because they hire the plumbers who come into your home and fix your leak.
Yeah.
So it's up to them to lead by example, to lead by the values, and invite their employees to do the same. And the beautiful thing about that is today, you know, we're 36 years old, and we've just launched an overarching brand that we call Neighborly. It's a community of home service experts. And that name actually came because our customers, like you said, this is my experience with your franchisees. You're friendly. You're courteous.
Right.
You're helpful. You're neighborly.
Yeah.
And that's the key. And again, we're not perfect, Gary, so we would never claim to be. But I'm so happy to hear that you had that kind of experience because that's exactly what we aim to do.
I did. And guess what? We would call you again. Fortunately, we haven't had a leak again. So
that's a good news. But if you have any other issues in almost any area of your household, just go to getneighborly.com.
Yeah.
And it'll take you to our nearest franchisee, and we'll get out there and take care of you.
But that's excellent. All right, Dina, I'm going to hit you with a challenging question. Earlier in the program, we read the gospel. We listened to the words of Jesus. And Jesus said, it's difficult, not impossible, but difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, in your business, you obviously work for a very successful company. What is the difference? I think it all gets down to values and how you treat people and how you handle the money that you acquire. What is the challenge facing people who do accumulate a lot of wealth when it comes to being a good person, when it comes ultimately to reaching the finish line, getting to heaven, which is why we are all here? What's the challenge, and how do you overcome that challenge of having too much money?
Yeah. You know, I think it's all in the person's heart.
Right.
So we've always said that there's nothing wrong with making a lot of money. It's what you do with the money that makes the difference.
Yep.
And I teach a class to all new franchisees called Design Your Life, and part of that class we talk about financial independence.
Mm.
And what I encourage the franchisees and the new associates who work directly for our corporation to think about is, what could you do? If you really made a lot of money, what could you do to help a lot of other people? And we talk about charity begins at home first, that you first take care of your family.
Right.
But what we have found, Gary, is we attract people who are good people.
Yeah.
And yes, some of them have, you know, great material wealth, but I find that the people we attract to our organization are givers. They love giving. In fact, many times their number one goal is to go out and do something good for somebody else, and it may be they want to go out and do mission work. It may be that they want to help their local church or give to their local nonprofit that they really care about. So what I find is we attract those kinds of people because our foundation is all about treating people with respect and dignity.
Wow, that's well put. Dina, we only have about a minute left. I want to give you a chance to put out your information in case anybody wants to find out more about you, contact you, or purchase one of your books, Values, Inc., or Live Rich. Where's the best place to go?
Yeah, they can go right to DinaDwyerOwens.com, and that last name is D-W-Y-E-R, Owens.com. And there they could get a Create Your Culture workbook for free. I've got a free download if somebody's listening and they've got a corporation and they really haven't mastered their values yet, there's a very six simple steps they could find on that workbook. not easy, but simple. Mm-hmm. If they're interested in learning more about how to become a franchisee, we've got lots of opportunity across North America and are looking for great people to join our organization. They can also find that information on my website. And as we think about our new brand, Neighborly, all the listeners out there are consumers, right? They're all going to need their plumbing fixed or maybe their house cleaned sooner or later. And we'd love for them to consider joining for free our GetNeighborly.com brand, because we're here to serve.
And I will put that information on our page, spiritinthemorning.com. Dina Dwyer-Owens, thank you so much for joining us today.
Keep up the God work.
All right. God bless you. Dina Dwyer-Owens, we will have her information linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Boy, that's plenty to think about on today's show.
Wow. Very powerful.
It was.
Very uplifting.
It
very
was.
Good.
I'm going to ponder this when we come back. It's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 16:5, Jesus told his disciples that he was returning to the one who sent him. Having said this, he knew the grief they felt. He then assured them that this was good for them, since the Advocate would only come at his departure. Jesus recognized the pain his words brought to those who were closest to him. It was not his intention to hurt them. He loved them, after all. But he knew better than they what was best for them. And time has certainly proved his words to be true. We tend to think of our current difficulties and fears as lasting forever. He knows what a short duration they will actually last. He also knows the glory awaiting us if we just trust him. Moreover, it is the very presence of the Advocate among us, the Holy Spirit, that is giving this minute between you and me the meaning that it has. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Stand right now, everything is crashing down, and I wonder where you are. I try to find the words to pray, I don't always know what to say, but you're the one that can hear my heart.
Even though I don't know what your plan is, I know you make beauty from
And that was Broken Hallelujah by The Afters. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks for listening to Spirit in the Morning. We're going to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse in just a minute, but I want to let you know what is coming up later on in the week of the program. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Dr. Mary Amore. She has written a daily devotional on Mary. She's going to be talking about that. Also, Sonia Corbett will be here. Sonia is, wait till you hear her. I think you're really going to enjoy her. She is well known for her Bible studies and for her talk. She is on fire. Sonia is just one of those people that once you start listening to her, you just can't stop. She has co-authored a book called Ignite, Read the Bible Like Never Before, with my friend Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. So the two of them together, two dynamic preachers. I've got to get Deacon Harold on the program one of these days, Dave. But he's
sounds dynamic.
Deacon Harold's tough to get a hold of because he's on the West Coast. This is very early, so I don't want to wake him up too early. But anyway, Sonia will be here Thursday on the program. Jeannie Mancini, the president of the March for Life, as well as Father Marty Gleason, who will talk about prayer. Friday on the program, Monica Hannon has written a book called The Gift of Death, A Message of Comfort and Hope.
Wow.
One of the biggest fears that people have
Absolutely. Is
death.
Yes,
but
it
Monica,
is.
Who is a newscaster from North Dakota, she has written this very amazing book about how it's actually the message of comfort and hope. And Father Jim Sitchko, our friend, will be here on Friday to close out the week. So he's got an exciting week, Dave Parker.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I am so taken by all these lay people, basically, and the clergy that come on, but who are just on fire for the Lord, and they're sharing.
They inspire
their gift.
Me. They inspire, and the Holy Spirit keeps sending us these guests.
Exactly.
So we're very grateful to the Holy Spirit for these many guests.
Dave, Amen.
Dave, let's take a quick look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse today. It comes from Mark chapter 14, verse 38. Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The words of Jesus to us, we can't forget to pray.
Absolutely.
I mean,
not.
it sounds like a no-brainer. It sounds like something that we all know, we should know. But how many times do we panic with a situation? We have a tough decision. Anything.
Absolutely.
We forget to pray.
Exactly.
Don't forget to, before you go around and run around and do what you need to do, ask the Lord, Lord, please help me. Help me know what to do.
I agree. We just have to. It comes with practice. We have to put in some kind of a switch that says, before I really go off the deep end, I need to pray. And then as soon as I think of that, I think, well, God, you're in charge.
Right.
And once we start down that path of giving it over to the Lord and asking for His help, we're on our way. And so that, I think that's when we can receive the blessings, the comfort, the calmness in the storm of whatever our situation is.
I love that idea of the switch because that's the key. We almost have to force ourselves, write it down or set a reminder on our phone or something to remember. But I think in my life what I've noticed is that the more I spend time talking to the Lord and becoming familiar with Him, and we chat a lot, when I have a problem, when something pops up, when an emergency arises, I do think of Him. And in the past, because we didn't have a good relationship, we weren't necessarily speaking all the time, I would forget about Him. So I think it comes
All of us have been there.
We're used to, once you get used to having that relationship and just conversing with Him throughout the day, then when you do have a problem, you are going to remember Him.
Yeah, He's with you. He's with us constantly. Yeah. He's our buddy on our left and right, over and above us, around us, around everywhere.
And that's one of the points that Father Turry was making, and I liked that he said that. We don't really need to do anything to bring God into our presence because He's already there.
Yeah.
We need to remember. We need to remember that He's with us. It's not the other way around. We have to call Him up or anything.
I'm sorry, Gary. That reminds me, one of my favorite little things is, in Him we move and have our being. Like that, He's all around us.
Yeah.
And sometimes, so often, we forget it because of these things in the world that impinge on us and take us away, right?
That's right. So that's one of the reasons we are here, Mr. Parker. We are here to remind everyone at home or wherever you're listening, the Lord is with you.
Don't get impinged.
Don't get impinged. All right. I don't even know what that means, but I know that sounds
painful.
It
coming in to get you off your course.
That's right. We should do a word quiz one day. I mean, I'm going to look. I'm not going to look very good.
No, you're going to surprise me.
You quiz me.
Oh, okay.
That could get really ugly. You have to be. You have to go easy on me, though.
Well, we should do both. We should and Frank too. We should make this a Holy Spirit Radio Spirit in the Morning family thing. You know, do word. We can do words.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see about that. As I mention this idea over the air. I'm not liking it that much. I'll have to. And by the way, it looks like I'm going to be in the studio by myself tomorrow.
Yes.
So this is a first. So we'll see how I survive.
You'll do well. I know
it.
Right? I know
you'll
do
okay.
Well. Yeah, I'm positive.
I get to sit in the Parker chair tomorrow.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm producer and host tomorrow.
Yes, you are, and you'll do fine.
All right.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit's here. God is with you on your shoulder.
All right. I will do it. I will do it. So I hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank you for joining us on the program today. If you want to hear the podcast for today's show, if you want to get information about any of the guests that we have had on, spiritinthemorning.com is the place to go. And also, while you're at it, shoot me an email. Let me know what you think of the program. You can reach me at Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org. I would love to hear from you. And again, I say it a lot, but thank you so much for joining us on the show. It means a lot that you're willing to start your day with us. On behalf of Dave Parker and everyone at Holy Spirit Radio, this is Gary Zimek reminding you that wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Make sure you turn around and say hi. God bless you. Talk to you next time.